Welcome to Elevating Pikes Peak Women, a podcast production of Pikes Peak Women. I'm your host, Mary Lou Makepeace, and this podcast will be bringing you content relevant to the women of the Pikes Peak region in order to help them get engaged, get empowered, and make a difference in our community. Pikes Peak Women was established in 2011 in response to a need to address critical issues involving women, issues like pay equity, health care reform, women's rights, and social equity. Pikes Peak Women also provides forums where women can learn how to engage, become politically active, join local boards, take leadership positions, and run for office. We do this as an independent, nonpartisan organization in collaboration with other organizations whose missions support and strengthen ours. So let's dive right in. Hello, this is Mary Lou Makepeace, your host for today's episode or issue of Elevating Pikes Peak Women. And I'm very enthusiastic about our speakers today and the topic of our conversation. The topic is KONO. Help me with that. It used to be Colorado. What does KONO stand for?
Well, it used to stand for Council of Neighbors and Organizations.
Okay.
And we actually took the acronym out because nobody could remember it. So it's just KONO.
KONO. Yeah. All right. And we have Sarah Voss, who's the executive director. And we also have a recent graduate of KONO's Neighborhood University, which we want to tell you more about, Kaylee O'Donnell. So welcome to both of you. All right. Well, we determined that KONO is KONO, but what is KONO? Back many years ago, when I first came to town and got involved in city politics, neighborhood organizations were organizing basically to fight the city. And from what I read and what you've told me, that's not the approach that you take anymore. So, Sarah, tell us, what is KONO?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. Our history exactly is that of neighborhood leaders advocating for neighborhood issues because there was never really a voice for neighborhoods. And we are 45, 46 years old as an organization. And today we really are more outward focused. And what I mean by that is it's not me standing at city council saying what's good or bad for neighborhoods because everybody lives in their own neighborhood and neighborhoods are not equal and they all need different things. So KONO is a nonprofit organization that equips and educates and gives the tools to neighbors for them to advocate for their issues. And we do that many ways. And as you alluded to, some of that education is Neighborhood University. Some of it is connecting neighbors to their elected officials and stakeholders. And we really just want to inspire people and equip them and build that confidence so that they know they can talk to their city council person. It's just another human being as well that's there for a reason to help them. So again, we're a nonprofit that works with neighbors and builds neighborhood networks.
And how long have you been with the organization?
Well, I started back in 2015 when we first became a 501c3 nonprofit, because before that, for 39 years, it was a volunteer group. I did take about a year and a half off. I left KONO in 2019 and took a position in Pueblo West, a community south of here, doing community development work. Lost my job, like a lot of us did and experienced in 2021, actually. And at that time, KONO didn't have an executive director. So I came back. So I've been executive director since about July of 2021.
So have you seen changes in the time you've been here since 2019?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Changes in the community and changes at KONO. And I remember when I came back to KONO, it was this weird feeling that just like when you go back to like your childhood bedroom and it's like exactly the same, but you've changed. And that's what happened to me was since I left for that year and a half and worked inside kind of a government municipality, I learned a lot. I learned a lot about community work, but also about running an organization. So when I came back to KONO, I realized we needed to change. And the board felt that way too. It was like, well, this is an opportunity to restart. So we actually changed our bylaws, recruited new board members, developed new programs, rebranded, like I said, took the acronym away. We did a lot of different things to help show up to the time of today, too.
So the new KONO is not the old KONO, except for C-O-N-O.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I understand that you being a general term, that the task is to build community.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. And even more specifically, we want everyone to love their neighborhood. And that might seem like, Okay, sure, fine. Well, what does that mean? I mean, don't we all love our neighborhood? Well, again, not all neighborhoods are treated equal. And there's we feel like there's key ingredients to loving your neighborhood. And part of that is feeling connected to it, building that community again, that community health, really. We all felt it through COVID and feeling very lonely, even in our own neighborhood. So one of the core ingredients to loving your neighborhood is feeling connected to it, knowing people's names. It's having awesome destinations to go to. Can you walk there? Is there a coffee shop? Is it safe? Is it accessible? A lot of times, it's easy to hear the angry neighbor at City Hall speaking about crime or safety. What they're saying is, I can't love my neighborhood because I can't feel welcome or safe here, right? So those are just some examples of how we build community is first identify what the gaps are for why folks don't love their neighborhood. And then we help facilitate connections, help, again, equip them with resources. But man, it comes down to connections.
Is that what's called the neighborhood network?
So a neighborhood network is actually a geographic boundary. If you look at a map, so the city planning department basically drew lines on a map that correlate with council districts. So there are 6 city council districts, and the planning department divided those 6 districts into 2. So there's 12 of these geographic boundaries that Kono calls neighborhood networks.
Okay.
So that's what a neighborhood network is really, is a geographic boundary. And the reason that the planning department did this was because of Plan COS. So Plan COS, as most of us know, is a comprehensive planning document that the city launched and got input on a few years ago. And chapter 2 of this document says we need to create neighborhood master plans. And if you don't know, there's 730 neighborhood associations, HOAs, condos, townhomes, what have you, across the city. And so, well, the city can't write 730 neighborhood master plans, but they can write 12. So for instance, in District 3, the West Side, Michelle Tallarico's district, she has 2 neighborhood networks, if you will, which are labeled 3A and 3B, because that's District 3, right? So Kono is just helping facilitate leaders in these neighborhood networks to
because
speak
Michelle
into the
is
plans.
Very new. Also,
she is very new. Yeah. So, but what our goal is at Kono is really just to, again, educate and equip people and give them the seat at the table. So when their neighborhood master plan is being written, which the city is facilitating those every about year and a half, we've got neighborhood leaders ready to go to speak into that.
Yeah, I was going to say Kono prepares you for the neighborhood network so that you understand what everyone's powerhouse is, what's in their wheelhouse, what you can actually approach them and expect them to solve, as well as, okay, maybe there's not someone whose problem this problem has been assigned to them, or maybe there's no one assigned to this problem. And so that's where the neighborhood network can come in and fill in the gap and say, hey, city council, we're missing this part of the infrastructure, or, you know, we want a park in our neighborhood. And now because of the training at the neighborhood university and because of the coalition of citizen activists at the neighborhood network, there is an existing community as well as guidelines of expectations on how and what can get done, when can it get done, who should get it done. And before, like you were saying, Mary Lou, there wasn't really anyone there to tell a neighborhood what was going to happen according to the city. And then it wasn't until they got to the NIMBY state, the not in my backyard state, that they were like, oh no. And so that's what Kono's trying to do is it Quimby is how you pronounce
quality
it?
Quality in my backyard.
Exactly.
We really want to raise up advocates that are solution-based and collaborators versus activists that are kind of pitchfork people, right? Yeah.
So how many I think of neighborhoods mm-hmm. as mostly single-family housing, mm-hmm. but you also mentioned condominiums and apartments mm-hmm. and do you work with all of them? Are they all? What I'm trying to get to is, do the neighborhoods, however they are configured, mm-hmm. see what you offer as something of value, and do they want to participate in it?
Yes, absolutely. And we rely on their historic knowledge, right? There's a lot of very active neighborhood associations, especially right around downtown. And so, yes, some of them, Neighborhood University, it's information they know, but we're pulling them in. But the part that's exciting is there are parts of the community where there's no neighborhood associations and they've never had a voice at the table and they've never even heard of this stuff before. So we get to kind of balance the playing field out a little bit. Instead of kind of always hearing from the neighborhoods that we always hear from, we're trying to include the rest of the city too, and hear from them. But yes, we definitely have some folks that will never get involved and that's okay. And some, you know, if you think of an HOA, a lot of what the neighborhood leaders in an HOA are focused on are rules and landscaping and the clubhouse and insurance and dues, and it's very hyper-focused. So what we're trying to do is pull them out of just the street-level view and bring them into, again, that kind of geographic region to look at their neighborhoods and the city in more of that, like, planning, growth, development, sustainability lens. But we still work on the ground level, but we also bring them up to kind of this more geographic level.
Well, if I'm sitting at home and listening to this and I'm thinking, oh, maybe I'd be interested in that, what would they have to do to get pulled in?
To get involved? Yeah. There's a couple ways. Great question. The one that Kaylee was mentioning was Neighborhood University. Mm-hmm. So that is a free course. It is 10 weeks long. Now that can feel like a big barrier. However, being free, we feed you dinner. Mm-hmm. We record the sessions. So if you miss one, you can always rewatch it. And that is something that once you graduate, you can be a board member of the neighborhood network, like a legitimate, like formalized board of that neighborhood network. Or say you're like, well, I really want to be involved, but I don't think I want to go through a 10-week course and I don't have time to be on another board. Well, you can still get involved because these boards need input from their constituents, right? Mm-hmm. So that board acts as kind of like a Kono hub in that neighborhood that's looking for input and feedback from the neighborhood. So our newsletter is a really good place to go, and our website, cskono.org, because, for instance, the West Side plan is underway right now, which is 3A, again, District 3, Michelle Tallarico's district, and our website has a page for that plan, and they've named themselves the Greater West Side Neighborhood Network. And you can find out when the community meetings are, what the survey results were. So there's all sorts of ways to get involved.
So what would I log on to?
cskono.org.
cskono.org.
Yeah. And you can also sign up for our newsletter from the website, which also gives you notices of public meetings that might be happening in your area. Whether they're parks meetings or maybe there's a different traffic pattern happening and you want to know about it.
I found out that there was a position open for the Parks and Cultural Services Board through Kono. So mm-hmm. I saw that on your guys' Facebook and Instagram. Yeah. So for us young folk, the socials work just fine too.
Yes.
So. But I do highly suggest the newsletter. It's not one of those ones that gets into your inbox and you're like, nope, don't need to read this. It's like, oh, good. Now I can put on my calendar when the next renter's rights meeting is mm-hmm. or when I can go to my next neighborhood network meeting. My Aunt Kate is in 3A and she's constantly asking me like, hey, when's the next meeting? I'm like, Kate, just check your damn email.
Well, with the new mayor, I know our meetings have been delayed this summer because they're, you know, trying to reestablish everything. We actually have a campaign going right now. It's called Connect Your Neighborhood. And we're saying register your address with us because we have a mapping database where anytime we get some kind of city notice or, hey, there's a development happening, an apartment being built near you, we will kind of draw like a radius circle on this map and then shoot you an email to tell you, hey, in 10 days, there's going to be a hearing. You're allowed to attend it. You can, if you need help with organizing some neighbors and understanding what's happening, we can help you. But we really want to engage folks in that public process. And we try to encourage them to be nice about it, right? And also, we can't always fight the view, but let's look at, again, the quality, demand the quality. Are there trail connections? With the retool that got passed, there's public art that you can ask for now as part of new developments. So we just want to make sure people are aware of what's going on.
Well, I think that's an uphill battle.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I know
we can't win them all.
Just getting people to know what's on the ballot when the ballot comes around is a challenge. Mm-hmm. But there is a place for citizens' voices. And I saw somebody being interviewed about a current development that's being proposed. And the person who lived in the neighborhood said, "We never hear from the city. We don't know what's going on." I assume you're trying to overcome that perspective. Maybe he didn't hear from it, but maybe his organization did or something.
Yeah, that's very true. And actually, we're trying to close that gap. You know, we're kind of the middleman between the citizens and government. And it's just as challenging for us too, right? There's 600,000 residents. Like I said, there's 730 neighborhoods. But by creating these 12 neighborhood networks of citizen leaders, we're hoping that helps disperse the information. So it's not just Kono over here with our three staff trying to serve the entire city, but we're building up these armies of leaders throughout the entire city. So they're up north, they're south, they're east, they're west, they're downtown, and they're helping get the word out. You know,
this is a good time to go over your address is cskono.org.
Yes.
So there are a lot of questions that could be answered there.
Yes.
Yep. And then if they want to talk to a person, what is your phone number? Do you give that out?
Sure. 719-471-3105. And that goes straight to my cell phone. It's all forwarded to my cell. So
if you're a listener and you're wondering something about your neighborhood, there are two resources for starters. And no doubt that conversation would lead to deeper conversations.
Yeah.
How do you find, this is kind of a tough question, now that you're kissing cousins to the city, how free does Kono feel they are to take a stand? Like, we think there are enough small apartments. Mm-hmm. We would like to see more neighborhood kind of development, or we think these apartments need some landscaping or something for children. How strongly do you feel about things that you can lobby that way too?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And we are free to take stands in support or opposition. However, our board has decided, at least thus far, not to. Not to take a stand regardless. We actually were even approached by Parks for the ballot issue to say parks are great for neighborhoods. Like, yeah, common sense say they are. But if we start down that road, what our board said is we feel that if we take a side over here, we're always turning our back to another neighbor. And so we've decided not to make any stands. So we haven't, like I said in the beginning, we don't. However, the housing development, I think that you're referring to on the west side, over on Uinta for low-income housing, I was asked by that organization as well to stand up at city council and speak in support of that development. And instead I said, I can't, but I'm going to send the neighborhood organization to you. And in fact, that neighborhood organization went to the meeting, spoke into it, and they're writing a letter in support of it. So that's what I'd like to see more of. And that's what the board agrees to, is instead of me taking a stand, because it's really hard to not take my personal hat on with me if I'm like, yeah, I think this is great. But it's really hard to really survey the community and the neighborhood and see what is good, because there's always another side to it. So,
well, I guess coming from the past, I find that a little troubling, because neighborhoods originally looked to Kono to be that spokesperson for them. Mm-hmm. So that's been a challenge for Kono and the neighborhoods, both, I assume.
There are some neighbors that don't like that change, sure. And However, when we can communicate to them and say that this is why, especially like around an issue like short-term rentals, some short-term or some neighborhoods, short-term rentals work really well and some they don't. And for us to stand up at city council and say short-term rentals are bad for all neighborhoods feels really disingenuous to neighbors. Now we might be able to find a space and say, well, yeah, in this neighborhood, this really doesn't make sense. Then what we would do is, bring together the neighbors with their elected official, with maybe the planning department, have that conversation. And then those neighborhood leaders speak at city council. And I will say the city knows about this model. So they look to the neighborhood networks with the same, reputation. As Kono, because they know that they have gone through our neighborhood university or they've been coached by us in some way. But we're not going, again, that has probably been the biggest challenge of the change to Kono is not everybody loves it, right? Or they love it if we agree with their issue. So again, I'm always turning my back to another neighbor if we take a stand on something, which again, maybe that changes over time. Maybe that doesn't work right now, though. That's the direction that we're going.
We were going to look at three things. And one of them was the neighborhood university. Before we get more in depth with that, what were the other two that you were going to talk about?
Well, I was going to say we do have fun sometimes too.
It's not all serious.
It's not all serious. And in fact, I love the fun part of this job. Cause I mentioned earlier community health. So nextdoor.com put a study out in 2020 and they said knowing at least six of your neighbors' names helps reduce the risk of mental health, which can lead to suicide or mental health issues, depression and isolation, right? We all felt that. So I really took that challenge and, oh my gosh, this is an awful stat. The Surgeon General said the number one cause of death, like this year, he said this, loneliness. Loneliness. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. It hurts my heart. So one thing Kono does to help address that is block parties, neighborhood cleanups, things that are easy ways for people to get to know each other, because we think that if you can have a beer with your neighbor, then when there's a development happening or there is something really controversial or there's a party that's really loud or they built their fence on your property line, you can have that conversation. You can build alignment and relationship. So we assist with the permitting for block parties. We have barricades that you can use. So that's just a really fun tool. And then we also have a partnership with Regional Building Department where we can fund roll-off dumpsters for neighborhood cleanups, which again, we just say, hey, like, this is a great way to bring a sense of pride in your community, clean up, have a pizza party, get people's email addresses while you're out there. So those are two other things. And we also have a big event coming up in August. That's kind of a celebration of community. And it's a hoedown. It's family friendly. It's downtown in Acacia Park, which is kind of the core of our city. It's just a way for Kono to just to celebrate community and coming together around music and
yeah. I can't wait for that.
I know.
I have my cowboy boots and
me too.
My hat. I got my hat finally.
We'll do some line dancing. So yeah. Great.
And who's funding that?
It is a fundraiser. Right. So we have several sponsors that are partnering with us to put it on. And then it is ticketed. So it's $40 a person or $15 for kids under 12. and it includes your meal. And beverages, no alcohol in the park, live music, line dancing lessons, and face paint, and cornhole, and selfie station, and just lots of fun things.
So. And a concert, right?
Yeah. There's a band, a country band called Extra Gold. They're a Colorado band. And Underline is our presenting sponsor that they're helping us put that on.
Yeah. So.
Well, when is that?
August 5th, Saturday, August 5th, 4 to 7 p.m. in Acacia Park downtown. It's called the Downtown Hoedown. It is on Facebook.
Downtown Hoedown.
Yeah.
Hosted by Kono.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first like citywide block party,
basically. Yeah, it's kind of a citywide party. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Kaylee, let's turn to you for a moment and have you talk about your experience with the Neighborhood University, which you just finished recently.
Yes, I did. I graduated. We graduated in May. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in May. So I'm one of those people that signed up for the newsletter because I'd heard about Kono when actually I was a student at UCCS taking urban politics from a Professor Makepeace, I think is who she was. Yeah. So we were studying urban politics, and I got into finding out, you know, who do the smaller, like the micro participants in government, those neighborhood organizations, who do they talk to? So I found Kono, and over the years had known it existed, didn't really know a whole lot. And then I got an email that said, hey, we're doing this neighborhood university and neighborhood you should sign up for it. So I went ahead and signed up. I thought it was going to be like, you know, an application process and this whole thing. I just put my name on their list and they said, show up for orientation. It was a 10-week class that honestly went by so quickly. I didn't realize that, you know, here we are at the end of 10 weeks. Like, it could have gone another at least month and I would have been happy with that. But Neighborhood University is basically a crash course in how to get involved in government, find out who the movers and shakers are. You know, we actually had Sam Freeman from the City Council Legislative Services. He came in, and he's a human information board and a frequently mm-hmm. asked question guru. Mm-hmm. Sam knows everything that you want to know about City Council, how to get something done. So we talked to people just like that from all kinds of different departments. I think my favorite experience was talking to our first responder panel orientation day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Chief Randy Roybal came in. We had two different police officers. And forgive me for not knowing their name off the top of my head, but there was one officer in there that I was like, I want to put you on a pedestal, not only because...
Is it Wesley?
I think so.
He's really good.
He's the one that has a background in law. Yeah. I mean, he knew... He was sitting there and talking to us about how every officer thinks about the constitutionality of their actions. And I was like, okay, so if this is the kind of like conversations we're having in this huge group together, it really does make me feel more connected with my community, you know, with the debacle and the social unrest that we've had in the past few years when it comes to policing. It was nice to sit down in a room with a police mm-hmm. officer and listen to, you know, to what extent they have to go through in order to do their job Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, we learned a lot, and that conversation is another thing. I didn't realize how short on police and first responders the city was. And earlier in that day, we actually talked to city council and county representatives, some of our commissioners, and three of the four on the panel were currently running for mayor. So we did get to hear what they cared about. And yeah, it was a political pitch, but man, to have their attention with a group of just maybe 30 people in the room and actually get to have conversations and really have that was something that was irreplaceable that I won't get at neighborhood or anywhere else from Neighborhood University. Like, I will not get that anywhere else, that experience. But yeah, after the whole 10 weeks, my first question was, is there going to be a 200 level class?
Yeah.
Because I want to know, you know, at the end of every meeting, we were all like, I wish we had a little more time to talk with these people, mm-hmm. to ask more questions. And again, that's what made the class so wonderful, is because the class was full of so many age groups, backgrounds, occupations. There would be people that worked in that industry and got into the nitty gritty and were asking those deep questions that were maybe a little over my head. But, you know, that when that started happening, I realized, okay, that's what makes this experience so wonderful, is there is a multitude of people that might live right next door to you that know more than you do about something going on in your city, your neighborhood. And that's why you need the network, is because, you know, every team has a specialist in something, and that's what makes up the whole team. And that's what these neighborhood networks are about, is building that team together and knowing that you and your neighborhood can get this all done together. You know,
well, anybody can sign up. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yep. And, anybody.
To me, as you're talking, it's like an opportunity to find out that police and fire are knowledgeable and they have definite guidelines they have to adhere to, and that they do adhere to them. That people in the planning department have specific things that they have to pay attention to.
Right.
And you get to put faces and names together. So even if you're not going to, you know, do anything else with it other than having that knowledge base, it sounds like a worthwhile endeavor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just the people we got to meet from utilities, the Home Builders Association, all these different experts that really they work just as hard as we hope them to work to make the city run well. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, you know, when someone gets upset, it's because you weren't there to put in in the community input process.
Yeah.
So it was nice to hear them say, we get frustrated too. So,
yeah, I always say, like, I love to humanize local government because a lot of the staff doing the work are people just like us. They're servant leaders. They care about their community. But a lot of times you put government officials on this pedestal or it's behind an email that you can yell at, you know. And so all of our students at the end, I feel like, do that. They make that connection. They're just like, oh, my gosh, these people are just so knowledgeable. You know?
When's the next session?
Next one starts in September. So September through November. And they will be on Tuesday nights. And registration's open. It's open right now. And again, you can find that on our website, cskono.org. And it's under the tab that says education.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yes. If I could stand up in the middle of every event that we do or any in the middle of downtown, like, you know, someone with a Bible, I would just be like, go to Kono.
And we have more flyers. I'll give you some.
Yes.
And the coolest part is graduation was fun. The mayor always comes. Mm-hmm. It's all the alumni come too. And everybody's just so excited to support each other and support the work. And it's like, oh, my gosh, let's keep going. So we're hoping to launch an alumni association soon because really – that was our third class. Kaylee graduated from our third class. So this fall class will be our fourth. So it's still pretty new.
So about 30 people per class is what you're doing?
Yep. We've had about 80 graduates so far.
And I would imagine that the mayor has popped his head in since I see him everywhere.
Yes, the new mayor and Mayor Southers also always was at every single graduation and everyone gets a certificate. And it just feels really special, you know, to kind of have personal relationships. And I tell people, I don't have my city council person's cell phone number because I'm Sarah from Kono. I have it because of work I did in my neighborhood when there was a development happening in the alley behind me. And I started to get involved. And you never know. Even if you don't agree with them all the time, you never know when you're going to need their help again. So that's why we always say,
and it's very hard for a member of a neighborhood to understand whatever constraints there that exist are on the work that's being done or on the city. I personally, I mean, you don't need my endorsement, but I like the direction that Kono is going in because it was abundantly clear in those earlier days that all they knew is they didn't like what was going on, and mainly because they didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You can break down a lot of barriers by providing information.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And we'll never be a big enough organization to help with all the things that are going on. And that's the idea. Mm-hmm. If we have 80 graduates, I mean, let's keep doubling and tripling that year after year, and we're informing more citizens. We've got this network of neighborhood leaders that my dream is that, you know, the next time a retool or something comes to the planning commission or the city council, that's a code change that affects the entire city, that instead of having maybe 10 people at the meeting, 10 residents saying why they don't like it, and they're all speaking from maybe a few neighborhoods. So my dream would be you've got 12 neighborhood leaders from the 12 neighborhood networks that are representing populations that have already had mini town halls and vetted this and gotten feedback and been working with the city over months and months, that now you have informed citizens at the planning commission meetings that represent the entire community. So that city council can really get a temperature check. And maybe it's still a resounding no, we hate it. But at least they know they've heard from the community. And maybe that's a little Pollyanna, but before or when I came back
that's
to Kono.
Required. That's required for your job.
It's required. And and I did research on other cities when I was coming back to Kono. And this model of neighborhood networks, of geographic regions of leaders, is a model that is everywhere, actually. And we're just a little behind.
Yeah, so. Leaping to the crowd game.
That's what surprised me in, I think, our first official class after orientation. We talked about this model, and one classmate mentioned that this was active in Cleveland and another one in Atlanta,
and Portland and LA.
Yeah, there were so many programs once I started digging into it that I was like, okay, so yeah, we are a little late to the party, but I think this will work well in our community because we are a city of turnover. And yes, that's the 5 military installations and, you know, the constant ebb and flow of economies, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, you'll walk down the street and you'll meet someone who this is their third time living in Colorado Springs, you know, between different deployments and assignments. And then there's people that have lived there the whole life, or people that moved here 5 minutes ago because they enjoyed it on vacation. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think these neighborhood networks really help piecemeal that quilt work, you know, all of that together and make it fit, because we do need, like you were saying, that neighborhood elder, you know, someone who knows, you know, back, you know, that was the Smith's house. And then after that, it was the Robinsons. Mm-hmm. And then you know, we need that sort of like that that knowledge that you can't just pick up. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The historical context that every neighborhood needs to have, and putting that all together and making everyone feel welcome, because this, like you said, in the dream is that, you know, we have the neighborhood council working together with the city council. So it's people that are from your neighborhood and know every little thing, working with people who are elected to represent it and get things done.
Well, how nice it would be if everybody who was running for council had been through this and knew
the city. Yeah. So the city of Atlanta, my favorite model that we've actually met with their planning department and kind of learned all about this. It's been going on for 45 years, and they have 25 neighborhood planning units is what they call their regions of neighborhood leaders. And Lisa was telling me, she said, we have folks running for city council and city leadership because they know more about what's going on. And now they're educated and informed. And now their constituents, they know them. They know who they are. They've had coffee with them and they've learned with them. Now, I don't know that if they get paid for their city council, so that's the whole other thing. But I just love that.
Yeah, soon.
Yeah, I just love that. Like, can you imagine, like, seeing, like, the person that you graduated neighborhood you and you've been sitting in their living room talking now is running for city council? You know them.
Yeah.
And you know that they understand how all of this works.
Well, it's clear whenever we have a city council election that the majority of people running have never been to a council meeting.
No. Mm-hmm.
They have some knowledge that they've gleaned from someone or somewhere, but how much more impactful it could be if they came to the table knowing a number of these things.
Yeah, exactly. Agreed.
Well, I commend you, and I think this is a great direction for Kono to be going.
Thank you.
I'm wondering, Kaylee, is there anything else that you would like to add while we're still live here?
Well, just make sure to sign up for the class in September and come to the Hoedown on August 5th at Acacia Park. You know, the city is getting ready to redo the downtown parks, the legacy parks. Mm-hmm. And when they were talking about Acacia Park, they were like, well, we can't tear down the band shell because it's part of our culture as a city. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking about it. I was like, well, when was the last time someone had a dance downtown at Acacia Park? And now I have my answer.
I know. They don't do summer concert series downtown, which is so interesting.
Well, I guess, you can't sell alcohol in the park. So that's kind of a drawback. Thank you, General Palmer. All these years. Later. So much. Make sure to go to the Hoedown on August 5th. Support this neighborhood community and maybe figure out how to get involved in your own.
And if you wanted to call and talk to Sarah.
Can you start over?
If anybody out there listening who would like to have a chat with Sarah, they can call 719-471-3. What's the last four digits?
3105.
3105. Let me give that again. It was kind of jerky. 719-471-3105. And any questions that have come up as a result of this conversation or other conversations you may have with your friends and neighbors, she'll answer it for you, right?
Yes, I'm happy to.
Sarah, did you have anything else that we should have touched on?
I don't think so. This has been a really awesome opportunity to chat more about Kono. We're, you know, we're rebuilding. As since I came back, we kind of went through a lull like a lot of organizations with COVID. Right. So we just need the support. We need, you know, Neighborhood University is free, but if there's anybody out there that wants to contribute and donate, the Hoedown's a great opportunity to do that. I have to put that plug. We are a strong but small team of three. And can use all the support and just, yeah, tell your neighbors.
And you raise your own funds?
Yeah, we have contracts with the City of Colorado Springs and Colorado Springs Utilities. So like I said, with those notifications, we help notify people of what's going on in the city. Same with utilities. When there's construction happening, we help be that communication channel. And then we help provide neighborhood leaders for these neighborhood master plans for the city too. So, but otherwise it's sponsorships, individual contributions, donations. We have a Friends of Kono campaign. So we'd love to have any kind of support. So.
Well, I'd love to see you be successful. And, you know, with the growth that we're experiencing as a community, the work you are doing is ever more important because we have so many new people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the biggest handicaps for newcomers is how do you meet other people, my age, my career path, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so this is a perfect opportunity for that.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, exactly. I want to thank both you ladies for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for the work that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And remember that this is brought to you by Elevating Pikes Peak Women. We just love women that we've been interviewing and the various programs they're involved in, the various programs they're leading. So if you know an interesting woman that you think we should be interviewing, let me know. That's it for today. Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you.
And that's all. It's ta-ta for now.
Thanks for listening to Elevating Pikes Peak Women. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if so, please consider leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts or share with your friends on social media or in person. For more information, check out our show notes. If you're interested in learning more about Pikes Peak Women, visit us on Facebook. Until our next episode, I'm your host, Mary Lou Makepeace.